chance, and Wiss getting knocked out.
It's time for your number one source for combat sports.
That's like it. How good was that?
Boxing, mixed martial arts, and more.
It is all over.
Bing! Right on the jaw.
Covering the fight game on a local, national, and global level.
How about the knockout?
Yeah. It landed chin to chin.
This is Fight Show Live with Ozone and T-Mac on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Oh, hell no. Happy New Year to ye.
It's Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. Welcome in. First show of 2014. Welcome, everybody, and thank you for joining us. We talk about the business of beatdowns, the art of ass-whipping here on Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5. The Fan Ozone here with you alongside Brian Imes, the human cockfighter, and T-Mac Thomas McCullough is with us, and of course the man behind the plan, it's Tim Rayner.
Thank you. Calm down.
Studio audience wildly enthusiastic for engineer Tim Rayner. Let's see. First, we'll do some headline activity. And the first segment, second segment, I'm excited about this because we've got a lot to talk to him about. The fight doctor, Rance McClain, will join us in the second segment. And we'll talk about such things as Anderson Silva's injury. Brian Imes has had a knee injury during a fight.
Yeah. When I blew my knee out in March, Rance is actually the ringside doc, as he is in a lot of fights around the Midwest. He works at KU Med regularly as a doctor. I believe his wife is a physician as well. Anyway, he examined my knee in the cage, and we're going to talk to him tonight about what he does. He talks to a lot of fighters before events about head injuries and things like that and how to identify these things. See his take on Anderson Silva's injury. Obviously broke his leg, inside leg kick that was very well checked by Chris Weidman, who's now the UFC middleweight champion of the world. We'll see what Rance has to say about these things, what he's seen. I know he was there when Rob Kimmins broke his leg last fall or earlier this fall. So we'll get his obviously credible perspective from Doc McClain.
Absolutely. Dr. Rance McClain joins the second segment. Third segment, we'll talk about some upcoming fights. They're talking about a year in which there will be perhaps 40 to 50 UFC events, something along those lines.
Looking at the sheet right here, we got about five UFC events in the first 5 or 6 weeks of this year. We got a World Series of Fighting event coming up. Tyler Stinson's going to compete on that card.
Kansas City Fighting Alliance also later this month.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get into it. We'll start with headlines on Fight Show Live. T-Mac with the headline activity.
First one we got is March 1st. It's been announced that Matt Matreon will take on Sean Jordan in the Ultimate Fighter China finale. So a good heavyweight clash between those two. Interesting fight as well because... Matt Matreon was kind of one of those top contenders, had a couple losses, fell down in the rankings. Sean Jordan kind of emerging as a contender, but then, has some flaws as well. And so we'll see. I think the winner should be in that lower to lower contender range. So
Sean Jordan's a big boy. It's hard.
Both are really.
Yeah.
Matt Matreone.
You like Matt Matreone, right?
I'm not a big fan of Matt Matreone.
Didn't he play for the Giants in the National Football League?
I think he did play professional football.
On the Ultimate Fighter season 10.
In the National Football League.
Yeah, Roy Nelson won that season. Matreone's a big boy. It seems like he's learned very quickly.
His nickname's Meathead, and I think
I'm not a big fan.
Yeah,
wasn't there a Meathead in Porky's?
Maybe.
There was a Meat. In Porky's.
There you go.
But
thank
Matt
you, sir.
Matreone.
Correcting me.
I say Matt Matreone. Because
why?
He pronounces it Matreone.
And it doesn't really matter.
And why do I pronounce that wrong? Because it's not important for me to pronounce it right.
Yep.
So, okay, that's interesting.
That's an interesting fight. For March 1st, like you said, there's going to be over 50 fights this year. And so it will be interesting to see where those guys fall in as far as for the rest of the year. Also, we had the Ultimate Fighter 34. It was the first fight on the Fight Pass. Did you guys get to watch it on the Fight Pass?
No. Did you?
No, because it was 6:30 in the morning.
Ah.
And I wasn't going to wake up at 6:30 in the morning.
And why is it? Was this in Singapore?
Yeah, Singapore. And my thing is if you're not going to watch it live, for me, if I'm not going to watch it live, I'll just watch the highlights. Just because it loses the interest because I'm not going to stay off of social media. So I'm going to see the results regardless. And kind of being a snob, if I know a fight's boring, I won't watch it. So right. If it's a boring fight, I skip over it. And if I know it's an exciting fight, well, I'll just watch the finish. I'm kind of a snob that way when it comes to fights, just because, I don't know, that's just how I am. So Ultimate Fighter 34 did happen this January 4th at 6:30 in the morning for us. I think it was prime time for them, obviously.
Fight night. Was it fight night?
Yeah, Ultimate Fight Night 34.
Fight Night 34.
And we had Tariq Saffedine, who fought Tyler Stinson in Strikeforce. He got a unanimous decision victory, 49-46, 48-47, and 48-47 over Hingguam Lim. And
he said.
Exactly. And Saffedine, 48-47, you could have gave the last round to Lim, but it was... It was the most convincing 48-47 I think you could have.
Right.
Because he was seriously controlling the entire fight. And then the last round, yeah, he got dropped and things like that. But it was highly convincing. It showed that even though Lim had the size and he was the much bigger man, Saffedine was the more technical striker and was picking him apart the entire fight.
And that was the first event on this new UFC Fight Pass.
Mm-hmm.
That can be... Events like that, Fight Night 34,
mm-hmm.
Can only be viewed on the Fight Pass.
On the Fight Pass,
and
yeah.
I've heard mixed reviews from those that were able to view the fight on Fight Pass.
Yeah, some said that the fight stream or that the live stream was a little choppy. Sometimes, you know, you get glitches. And that should be expected. I don't know if you're going to get 100% success out of the first time running a live show. So,
now, they'll work the bugs out.
They're busy in January, that UFC. They got that Fight Night 35. That's in Duluth, Georgia, on January 15th.
Mm-hmm.
That's, 10 days from now? And then you got another one. That Philippoussis and Luke Rockhold is the main event on that.
Yeah, that's and January 15th. What mm-hmm. else we got for headline activity, teammate?
It's been really a slow...
very slow week.
Slow week. That's why it's kind of picking and choosing. Quinn Mollern retires at age 29. He fought on that Ultimate Fight Night 34. He's former Strike Force vet. After he lost that night in Singapore, he decided to retire. So called it a career, and at the young age of 29. So,
wow, yeah.
You know, with retirements in combat sports, I don't really ever take it too serious because eventually I feel like with Quinn, I could easily see Bellator making him an offer in 6 months to a year, and then he comes back and fights for Bellator. You know, it's something like what Kurt Pellegrino did when he retired from the UFC, made it big, you know, okay, I'm done, and then the next tournament.
All you gotta do is watch Rocky, you know, fighters are never finished.
Exactly. So that's really all the headlines we got for this week, because like I said, pretty slow news week for the MMA side.
Indeed, yeah. No, I mean, except for those fights that most people didn't see.
Right. And other than Kajiri, I forgot to mention him, he won with a submission, and that was his UFC debut. Kind of the hope for Japanese MMA. He's kind of their guy. The next guy they're all getting behind. Besides, you know, him, there's not really too much. So a lot was riding on him getting that victory. He looked impressive, got the submission victory. And so he, I think, was the big story coming out of that event. Obviously, Saffedine winning was big because he is a Strikeforce champion, the last Strikeforce champion. I think he should get someone like a Rory McDonald next. I think that would be a good fight for him. But the big star was Kajiri, because if he would have lost, I think it would have just deflated Japanese MMA.
No, I know. Yeah, morale would not be good because they don't have a big-time, big-name winner in the UFC. It's Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. Thank you, T-Mac, for headline activity, and we'll continue with that general headline theme. I don't know. I guess if you guys saw some of this, but I hear tell that there was a little bit of a Twitter hoax, as there often will be. The untimely death of Joe Rogan, not true.
Tragic.
Not true. And you know, any kind of death hoax is just, I think, really not funny at all.
You know you're famous when people are faking your death.
Yeah, I think anybody who starts something like that is a total putz, and it's not funny at all. But, yeah, then I heard Steven Seagal, the king of the ass clowns, Steven Seagal. Apparently,
did he die as well?
No. No, but he does dye his hairpiece. But he actually probably has people to do that. But the point is, he's looking at he's martial arts legend Sensei Steven Seagal is apparently looking at running for governor
in the state of
Arizona. And he's talked to Joe Arpaio, the toughest sheriff in the land. Come on.
And Chad Brewer is their governor now, for those of you.
Well, you could have martial arts legend Steven Seagal as a potential candidate for governor in the state of Arizona.
Apparently Todd Anderson Silva had a crane kick.
Yes, he did.
He can't even make five complete sentences without a long pause to think about what he's going to say next. How can he be a governor of a state?
I'm sorry.
I'm not talking politics here. I don't know what his
communication skills.
Yeah, his communication skills are so horrible. I don't know how anyone
could. I thought he was great at Under Siege.
Yeah, I think
those lines were written for him.
I think he's great at being an ass clown.
Yes.
Hey.
But you know he's a legend. So anyway, it's martial arts news.
Your capoeira is no good here.
You know, martial arts news, but just because he's been involved in martial arts, of course, Aikido
of course.
is his chosen discipline. But you know, and they were making a big deal about him training with mixed martial arts legends such as Anderson Silva before he lost the title. But yeah, the crane kick. I mean, poor Anderson Silva, the last kick he threw, I mean, it's unfortunate. His leg, you know, his lower part of his leg looked like the neck of a crane. I mean, just
it
bent
was unfortunate
and grotesque.
The way it went.
And we'll talk about that injury and other things that doctors take a look at in the fight game when Rance McClain joins us in the second segment. It's Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5, The Fan. Is that all we have for headline activity, Brian?
I believe so, brother. We're going to talk to Doc. Doc's been there when I've blown my knee out. He's been there for Rob Kimmons when he broke his leg. He's going to look at what happened to Silva the other night. I was watching it, and as soon as it happened, I thought, oh, damn, he broke his leg, and he had.
Yeah, clearly.
Boy, yeah. But you know what? Hats off to Chris Weidman. That was a great leg check. He said they were training that. A leg check, a good leg check is as good as a good strike. You know what? And that's the way it goes.
On the local, global, and well, local, national, and global level is how we cover mixed martial arts. But this is local and national and global news. And, of course, you know, Jason High, still recovering from appendicitis. I mean, well, what must have been a ruptured appendix.
Yeah, and, had an appendectomy.
Yeah, and so he had to pull out of that fight. That would have been the Rockhold Philippou headlined card.
Yeah,
the UFC pull fight
out
night
UFC
35.
There. That's unfortunate, but Jason will be back. Those things happen. I think my brother had his appendix out recently. T-Mac, you said you had it done.
I've had it done.
You've had it done. Yeah. I hadn't had it happen to me yet. Is there any wood in this joint? Yes, you can.
Yeah, knock on formica. But, yeah, so, I mean, it's good news he's recovering. It's unfortunate he had to pull out. But, man, I mean, you know, I don't know if it would make it an easier surgery, you know, for someone to, you know, I guess it would be, you know, anatomically speaking, for the doctor to cut into a perfectly developed abdomen such as that of Jason Hayes. I mean, now, my mind,
right.
He's got to cut through several layers of subcutaneous fat.
There's not a lot of gristle there.
Not at all.
It's pretty clean, yeah.
No, it's Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. That'll conclude headlines and the first segment of the show. Happy New Year, everybody, and thank you for joining us. We'll take a little break, and when we come back, the fight doctor, Dr. Rance McClain, who sees all and knows all inside
right.
the cage
from
a physician's perspective. Dr. Rance McClain will join us next on Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
The most dangerous weapon in wrestling and sports entertainment has arrived to the Trending Topics Network.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
The Spanish Announce Table. Every week, the tag team duo of T-Mac and Captain Awesome break down and analyze the world of wrestling as they slam it through. The Spanish Announce Table on the Trending Topics Network.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Experts in the business of beatdowns. Back to Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
Welcome back, Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. Happy New Year!
Thump 2014, yes you can.
It's going to be a big year, yes indeed. Ozone here alongside Brian Imes, T-Mac in studio, Tim Rayner behind the controls, twisting knobs and pushing faders, and a round of applause for himself, as is customary. Our guest right now who joins us, our esteemed colleague in the fight business, is an expert in all things having to do medically with mixed martial arts and the participants
in particular,
the participants thereof. Dr. Rance McClain, are you with us, sweet daddy?
I am, Ozone. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great, man. Thanks for taking the time on a Sunday evening. You are a physician and a family man. But let's get a little background, a little biographical information on you, Rance. You go into the medical field. How do you find your way? Give us a quick bio, but how do you find your way into the fight game? Where did you start?
Sure.
That kind of deal. Rance McClain.
Yeah, when I went to medical school, I knew I wanted to do something in the lines of sports medicine and injuries. I, you know, grew up very involved myself with athletics and just have always, enjoyed that aspect. And so when I went to school, I knew I wanted to do something in those lines. The real decision was whether or not to pursue a surgical career or a non-surgical career. Basically because of the, more family time and those kind of things, I chose to go into the non-surgical aspect of it. As part of that, I've always had my career has been an academic career, so I work at Kansas City University of Medicine and Biosciences. And with that, I have students that that I teach every year. About 8 or 9 years ago, I had a student who was training at one of the local gyms. I'd been watching some of the old UFC and K-1 competitions, stuff like that, and was talking to him about it. And he said, well, I train a local gym, and we're always needing doctors to come out and cover fights if you're interested. So one thing led to the other. I ended up cage side, and that's probably about 200 events ago now. So been out there, covered a lot of events since then.
Absolutely. This is the man we're speaking with, Dr. Rance McClain. He is the fight doctor. Anywhere locally, regionally, you're going to see this man cage side, ringside, taking care of business from a medical standpoint, Dr. Rance McClain. Brian Imes, what's up, sweet daddy?
I've known Doc. Obviously, I go to events all the time promoting my brand and helping advocate for civil discourse all over the planet. Pardon me, Midwest of America. But Doc is everywhere. He was there in March when I blew out my right knee at Centurion in St. Joe. He came in. He made me sit down on a stool. Reluctantly, I did. And he folded my heel up under me, and it popped. And I said, that's not good, Doc. And he looked at me and said, no, it's not, Brian. And I said, what happened? And he said, you blew your ACL and tore your meniscus. So I hobbled over, and they raised Wayman's hand, and I got out, and I think I put my weight on it getting out. But anyway, that's exactly what happened to me. When they did the MRI, he called it dead on, and it's been repaired, obviously. But you're around all this stuff all the time. A lot of people watched the UFC last weekend, and they saw Anderson Silva break his leg. Give us, from a medical perspective, from an orthopedic perspective, what actually did he break? What was the surgery to repair it? And what's his outlook going forward?
Dr. Rance McClain,
That was a horrific injury. We always hate seeing stuff like that. We're there cage side trying to help people and hopefully keep them from having bad injuries like that. What Anderson did, he broke his the distal part of his leg, both bones in the distal aspect of his leg, his tibia and fibula. The tibia is more of the weight-bearing functional bone, and the fibula acts kind of like a strut. That's more more the function of the foot and ankle and how the lower leg functions. So when you break that like he did, The repair for that, they actually have to put in what's called an intramedullary nail. It's a big, long, usually made out of titanium rod that they drill out the middle part of the tibia. They insert the rod down into the bone and fix it in with several screws in both ends to keep it in place. At a minimum, you're looking at about a 3 to 6 month recovery time. That would be to get back to, you know, relatively good function, walking around, moving on it, you know, definitely the more looking at the 6 months for somebody like him as
athletic
an athlete
motion.
To even think about getting back into training, because those, you know, it's a long recovery. I know we've seen it before in the business. Corey Hill, who was on one of the early Ultimate Fighters, had the same injury. We've seen other guys try to come back from other bones. Of course, Frank Mir had a rod put in his femur after a motorcycle wreck, and unfortunately for all of them, it's a long, hard road to get back to the level they were before. When you're looking at somebody like Anderson Silva that's pushing up against 40 years old, there's a lot of talk about whether or not that should be the end of his career. Of course, he's the one that's going to have to decide that.
We're talking to Dr. Rance McClain, the fight doctor, and you were in attendance.
I got you guys.
Yeah, you with us? You got us? Doctor? Dr. Rand, sweet daddy. You with us, sweet daddy?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay, all right, here we go.
I got you.
Okay, man, it's Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5, The Fan. Talk to the fight doctor, Dr. Rance McClain. And hey, you were in attendance at the Epic Fight Night last year when Rob Kimmins broke his leg, right? Hello?
Doc? Yes. Unfortunately, I've seen several of these. Luckily, the ones we've seen have not been as severe as Anderson Silva's. But it's not uncommon for people. Two different mechanisms that we worry about with lower leg injuries. One is the low kicks where somebody checks it. It's a hard contact bone on bone. The other is occasionally, you know, guys getting put into a position where they're planting down on the foot, twisting and turning, trying to throw a punch or a kick with the other leg, and that torquing mechanism can also cause an injury like
right.
that.
That's what caused my knee to go, which you were there for, and you've been there for Kimmins, and you've been there for... obviously seen this one, but
has seen hundreds of fights as well, perhaps thousands, because it's over 200 events for Dr. Rance McClain, the fight doctor. At what point do you, recommend stopping a fight, and how much say do you have, doctor, in stopping a contest when you see too much damage?
You know, that's something that varies a lot from place to place. Luckily, because I've been doing this around Kansas City for so many years, I really have a great relationship with a lot of the referees around, and I stay in constant communication during the events, during the bouts themselves, with the referees. When I'm looking at specific aspects of what's going on with fighters, what their medical condition is during the bout, whether a cut is bad enough to stop the bout, whether they've taken enough, you know, cumulative damage over the fight that an injury is happening. I will talk to the referees, particularly in between rounds, and say, hey, this is what I'm looking at. Here are things for you, the person up in the cage, to keep an eye out for on this fighter. And if you're concerned, you know, look at me. We'll communicate. And if you need me to come in and assess them, then that's what I do.
And how much, how much does it play into your decision, in terms of how well you know a fighter? You've seen a lot of guys in action many, many times. And, how much does that influence, your decision as far as, the toughness of a fighter, you know, that kind of thing?
Sure.
Well, and obviously.
Thankfully, it doesn't have to come into play a whole lot, because there's some pretty clear-cut guidelines that we follow as to how bad an injury can be, whether to, somebody can continue to go on or not. And it's very hard when you know athletes and you've known them for years, and you know somebody's a really tough guy, to say, you know, I need to go ahead and stop this. And trust me, I've had a lot of guys that I've known for years that get very mad at me at the time and almost always come back to me later and say, you know what, you made the right decision. And, you know, in the end, sometimes fighters won't protect themselves, and they need somebody else to step in and say, you know, you've had enough tonight. And,
that's right.
And we need to get you out of here tonight so you can come back and do this another night.
Now, it's obviously ultimately whether a fight is stopped is at the referee's discretion. But I mean, you've obviously got the medical expertise, you know, to determine whether somebody is, you know, physically able or really medically should continue to fight. But how about what's like the most common sort of injury? If it is like a cut, is it accidental, or tell us about like some of the most common injuries you see,
Doc. You do some consulting before fights, don't you, about head injuries with fighters?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, luckily the head injury aspect in MMA is there, and so that's something that is always on our mind as far as injury goes. Thankfully, it's not one of the more common injuries. Far and away, the most common stuff that I see are really superficial bruising, swelling, you know, superficial abrasions and stuff like that, not the deeper lacerations. You know, lacerations do occur, and we see those, you know, a lot of times, you know, due to contact. We occasionally see lacerations from incidental contact to contestants, you know, clashing heads or something like that. Other things that are common that we see, you know, fractures, usually when we're talking about fractures, hands and noses are the most common. You know, the smaller bones are a little bit more susceptible to trauma. Thankfully, we don't see too many of the bigger bone fractures, the leg and arm fractures.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, you know, you talk about head injury and concussion. That's a huge area because of all the media attention the last several years over concussion or traumatic brain injury is really the preferred medical terminology for it, because the risk that can lead to chronic traumatic encephalitis, the NFL, you know, is really in the media a lot about what they're doing to try to protect their athletes. And the MMA community is following suit, trying to do what we can to protect fighters and educate them better. And as Brian, you know, mentioned, I do a lot of talking to fighters beforehand, and talking to them about recent injuries, illnesses, anything that would lower their risk or put them at a more susceptible risk for a concussive injury, and try to educate them.
Doc, wouldn't you embrace and advocate for this business and this community, though? I know you do. Despite all the risks, it is good for the community. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. As part of what I've done with sitting cage side, you know, for years, I sat there and said, you know, we really ought to look more. I'm doing this week in and week out. I really should look more at what are the risks. There's actually very little research that's been done on MMA injuries. So for the last few years, I tracked injuries cage side, and we have a article that's been approved for publication. It's in the editing phase right now, from about 700 bouts of competition, so 1,400 athletes. And in all, about 1 in 5 bouts ended with some sort of what we called altered mental status. The big gray area there is that a concussion or is it not? Because oftentimes in combat sports, severe fatigue, poorly conditioned athletes, those kind of things, they can have the same type of symptoms after a bout that somebody would with a concussion or a mild traumatic brain injury. The vast majority of those clear in under 15 minutes. which puts it, even if it is a concussion, at a very low level. You educate somebody on how to monitor for signs and symptoms of a concussion afterwards. You would give them some advice on returning to activity and how to lay off and rest. And they come back, and they're completely functional and continue to participate in the sport.
Little punchy, no dummy, right, Doc?
Right.
Little punchy, no dummy.
The real risk that we see in athletics and chronic traumatic encephalitis is the multiple blows over and over and over over the course of a career. You know, an average NFL lineman has 40, 50, 60 offensive plays where they're clashing into another player, whereas in MMA, the reason we're seeing lower rates is because when a guy gets in a bad position in a fight and they take several punches, the referee comes in and stops if they're not protecting themselves. So they're not taking the multiple fight, the multiple injuries and head concussive blows within a specific bout.
Dr. Rance McLean is with us, and before we let you go, just I think what I hear you saying. I mean, you're talking about, I guess, your opinion on the relative safety between mixed martial arts boxing, where they take a lot more shots to the head, and the same thing with football.
I can get
the relative safety of mixed martial arts, yeah, versus boxing and football.
Right. The injury rate in the, I think it was 711 bouts that we had tracked for my research, the injury rate was about 8.5%, which means that out of all of those bouts, only 8.5% had any injury that needed medical attention after the bout. And again, the vast majority of those were superficial injuries that really just needed some ice and compression and resting a little bit, you know, giving it a few days to heal, where there was really no other treatment that was needed. So the risk of having a more severe injury that needed some sort of definitive treatment was extremely low, down around the 1 to 2% range. So, you compare that to football, any given football player's risk of being injured in a season that needs some definitive treatment is about 3.5% to 4%. So it is right in line with other contact sports.
Dr. Rance McLean, man, we want to thank you so very much for your lending your expertise and take a little time on a Sunday evening to join us. And you heard it here from the doctor. MMA is the safest sport, safer even than golf.
It's good for the community. Yes, you can.
I didn't go that far now. Come on.
And, of course, he agrees that it is good for the community. Doctor, we will see you at the fights. Thanks again very much for joining us. And have a good evening, man. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, Doc.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Dr. Rance McLean, you see him at all the fights. He is the expert, certainly from a medical standpoint, seen thousands of fights, hundreds of events, and the man, he knows his stuff.
I
like to hear the medical terminology, too. I don't understand it all, but I like to hear it and nod in agreement, as if I did understand what he was saying on the same level. It's great to have the doc, and we appreciate it taking the time.
He's compiled a lot of knowledge over his visualization of the sport.
And one thing that he doesn't get a lot of credit for is being part of the fight night. He does so much more that's not seen. He has to be there and give physicals to all the guys.
Yeah.
He has to make sure that they get cleared for the physicals. He makes the call. Then he has to go out there, and then literally he can't look away.
He's part of the show.
Yeah, he's literally like one of the lifebloods, the backbone of every MMA show he's been.
You got to have the doctor, you got to have a guy who actually cares about the participants, he's into the sport.
Yeah, that's the best thing.
Interested observer, so he knows what the hell's going on.
Works fast, and he's good with his hands, and he ain't afraid to get dirty.
Because I've been at shows where doctors aren't fans, and so they don't really understand what they're looking at. So a cut that could be, high on the forehead, away from the eye, could be a deep cut, but it's not going to get in their vision. They'll call the fight because they don't know the sport, where Rance, you know, he knows the ins and outs of every type of injury.
It's a huge benefit to have a guy who knows what he's looking at. He's not squeamish and overreacts in a situation where he doesn't need it, where a fighter could fight through something that some other less qualified doctor would stop a fight.
Less
or something.
Involved.
But it's Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5. The Fan. We'll take a break and come back with our third segment of the evening. It's Fight Show Live again on Sports Radio 102.5. The Fan. Come on.
Touch that dial, and we'll kick your ass. You're tuned in to Fight Show Live with Ozone and T-Mac on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Oh, hell no. That's right. It's Fight Show Live, Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. Talking about the art of ass whipping, the business of beatdowns. Ozone here. You there, Brian Imes, T-Mac, Thomas McCullough, and Tim Rayner. Is the engineer, the con man with the con plan, twisting knobs and pushing faders, receiving the applause from the studio audience. And thank you for joining us. Happy New Year from Fight Show Live. We're going to talk some upcoming event activity and try to get them in some sort of an order and review the card in some cases and comment on the action that will take place.
The discourse.
What's next? I've got January 15th down here for UFC Fight Night 35. Brian Imes, you have any information?
Duluth, Georgia. That'd be a good place to watch a fist fight. January 15th, headline, Philippoussis and Luke Rockhold.
Yeah, Konstantinos Philippou versus Luke Rockhold. And Rockhold, of course, former middleweight champion of Strikeforce
on Fox Sports 1. And then World Series of Fighting coming up. That's on January 18th. That's 3 days later. Tyler Stinson's on that card.
Yeah, just signed to a World Series of Fighting.
Just
Tyler
signed
Stinson.
A World Series of Fighting. Interesting. Steve Carl's World Series of Fighting champion. They fought before at Bellator 26 at the Power and Light District in Kansas City. I was on that card.
Weren't you
as well.
On that card? You fought somebody.
I took a whooping from John Otto. I had a broken wrist and a dislocated thumb. He didn't care. He didn't take it easy on me.
But it was
he
a
put
decision,
it on my
it?
Neck and ear mostly.
Wasn't it a decision?
It was a unanimous lopsided.
You went three rounds with the dude.
Absolutely. Yeah. I held on with a body triangle the whole time with my arm trapped beneath me. Yeah, it was the proudest day of my life.
You're only a foot and a half taller than the dude.
I know,
but,
right?
You fought tough for three rounds.
I couldn't reach down that far. That was the problem.
You fought tough for three rounds.
I did.
But
Stinson fought Carl that night and put it on him a little bit. And then
damn
Carl
near had him out of there.
Yeah.
So and now Steve Carl caught Tyler Stinson. I believe it was a... What was it?
It was a triangular choke.
A triangular choke.
On his neck with the arm there.
Yeah, but he's able to stop Stinson. Now Stinson's at the World Series of Fighting number 8, which is January 18th, as you mentioned. And Steve Carl, potential matchup. Steve Carl, the welterweight champion, of course, the World Series of Fighting.
Obviously, Stinson has to win and then beat somebody else probably, and then he gets to Carl. But that's interesting. Could be a cool rematch. February 1st, Dominic Cruz makes his comeback to UFC, fighting Henan Barrow.
That's February 1st?
February 1st.
Okay, well, let's go back to January 24th. There's an RFA, Resurrection Fighting Alliance.
That
happens.
That one at?
It's in L.A.
L.A.
Los Angeles. And at January 25th, there's a UFC on Fox 10, Ben Henderson versus Josh Thompson.
Josh Thompson, Strikeforce champ.
But
right?
The big news for January 25th.
You said before, good-looking fellow, you said about Josh Thompson.
Yeah, he's a nice-looking young man, but very tough, too, and a former Strikeforce lightweight champion in his own right. But fighting Ben Henderson, that's a good matchup. What the big news for January 25th really is locally here, Kansas City Fighting Alliance 9 in Independence, historic Independence, Missouri, Truman Memorial Building, stacked and packed card as it always is for Kansas City Fighting Alliance, January 25th. That's a Saturday, and the main event featuring the Smashing Machine, Dallas Browning,
Footsie.
Versus
Tyler Griffin. And I have a mutual friend with Tyler Griffin. Here's what I know. I think I fought him on the same card. Fought with him on the same card in
this
Oklahoma years ago, and I'm pretty sure he played NAIA football at Ottawa.
Let's play some football.
And I've been told his ground game is slick, but I think Dallas does his thing. I like Dallas.
Yep.
Dallas, good people. He's obviously good with his ground game. He's a legit wrestler. Slick leg locks.
Like a national judo champion.
He's a judo fella. His guillotine's been slick lately and dangerous.
There's also a really good fight with Jacob Aiken versus Zach Hubbard on that card.
Oh, yeah, there. That's
looking
at 125,
forward.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, flyweight activity. It's a stacked and packed card. We'll bring you more of that card and the participants thereof. Kansas City Fighting Alliance 9 happening January 25th. We're talking upcoming fights on Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Let's go to February 28th. Titan.
Oh, what? Isn't there anything in between there?
I don't believe so. I think we covered all
okay,
that.
Okay, February 7th then.
Ooh,
Ultimate Blue Corner Battles.
Boom.
And we're talking a Voodoo Lounge.
Voodoo Lounge.
Of course.
Harris Casino.
They always do a terrific card. Harris Casino.
That's Ben Nogueras' card.
Yeah.
Who's on that card?
Ultimate Blue Corner Battles. I don't have the card. I just have the announcement.
It's a Pro-Am, here. I believe.
Yeah.
Finney's
yeah.
got something to do with it out of St. Louis.
He might, yes. I'm mm-hmm. just announcing that, and we'll get more into that as the event draws near.
Thank you,
but,
sir.
But I'm just announcing that the event will take place February 7th, 2014, the year of our Lord. Now we've got, what else? What was your next one on there?
I was going to say Titan coming back to town here February 28th at Memorial Hall.
And Ozone. That's Titan Fighting Championship 27 on February 28th. At Memorial Hall, main event there, and there's going to be some big local action, locally interesting matchups that we can't disclose just yet, but some big-name fighter activity is going to be
on Twitter yet.
On that show, no. But the main event has been confirmed, Chris Ricci versus Jorge, or is it George Gurgel as the main event?
I believe it's George. My brother blew the transmission out of George's Beamer.
Your brother is...
Fighter.
Who's your brother, Brian Imes?
Brad Imes is on the Ultimate Fighter Season 2 with George. Hung out with George a little bit at UFC 69 in Houston. My brother fought Heath Herring. Gurgel was on the card. I don't remember who he fought. Maybe he didn't. No, Marcus Davis was on the card. That was it.
Oh, okay.
Thank you. Anyway.
I don't know what that's got to do with George Gurgel.
Gurgel's legit. But throws great kicks. Very durable. Was Fight of the Night in Strikeforce how many times?
A lot
of times. Yeah, exactly. Very tough guy. I think his wife fights too, right? Zoila.
Yes. Yeah, Zoila Fausto
Gurgel.
Just fought Invicta here just
go.
A couple weeks ago. But no,
go.
But that's a great main event for Titan. That is breaking news, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
The only place you're going to hear that kind of thing is here on Fight Your Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan. We talk about the art of ass whipping and the business of beatdowns in a serious, sensitive, sober manner.
Discourse
as you know.
Through civil service.
So, yeah, but then there's some UFC activity that is forthcoming. We were talking about some locally interesting fights. What? Let's keep it on the mic, sweet daddy. No secretos, as they say in Spanish. No secrets.
We want a square, don't we?
But UFC Fight Night, mentioned it a little bit earlier. January 15th, Luke Rockhold versus Costas or Costantinos. I think he goes Costas for short, Philippou. I know I would. But TJ Dillashaw also on that card, and he's a hell of a lot of fun. Alpha Male with Uriah Faber out there on the West Coast, and he's a very tough customer fighting Mike the Hulk Easton.
Crazy.
He's a nut.
Yeah.
That's a number 7 versus number 8 matchup in the bantamweight division. And also on UFC Fight Night,
Cole Miller's on that card.
Cole Miller, and who's Cole Miller fighting?
I don't know who that guy is.
He's fighting Sam Cecilia.
I'm not familiar
daddy.
With him. T-Mac, what say you about Cecilia?
I don't know much about him, but Cole Miller's always one of the good ones because he always comes in. He represents the MMA Underground, which I'm a member of, so I'm always a fan.
Oh, you post on that?
Yeah, I have in the past. And so I'm always a fan that he kind of, gives a shout-out to the hardcore fans. So I like that. He's always fun to watch as far as his jiu-jitsu. Stand-up's always getting better, so I always like watching Cole Miller fight. Don't know much about his opponent, but Cole Miller himself is always
a He'll make
fan
it a good fight for sure. But that's at UFC Fight Night. 1026. Or no, what was it? 20?
Yeah, no, that's it. That's
35.
UFC Fight Night 35.
35,006.
That's a Wednesday, January.
They're busy
15th.
Over there at the UFC. I hear their Twitter's blowing up.
They're talking 40 to 50 events this year.
That's a busy organization. How about this?
One a week.
You're talking about another local organization. It's Blackout Fighting Championship. How many events have they had now? And they're now doing pro-ams, and they got one,
20?
I think, on the 14th up in St. Joe.
Maybe 20.
And they're doing a big amateur tournament at 155 or 70. They're going to award a pro contract. How about that? Travis Corder has done a lot in a short amount of time. and built a very good brand there. How about that?
Yeah, huh? And you, how did you feel with your treatment and your experience fighting for that organization? Blackout, right? St. Joseph.
Yeah, well, I fought for Centurion, which was their all-pro card in March. And Rome Lindsay was on that card, fought Jason Witt. And Daryl was on that fight, fought Dober. That was a great fight.
And
that
Dober, was a good Dober fight. Just fought in the UFC.
Yeah, just fought in the UFC. He's and fought real tough, of course.
Yeah, and about Dober, I talked to him up there in Omaha last time I was working for Victory. He said his next fight won't be at 170. It's for sure going to be at 155, which is his natural weight class. The only reason he took that fight is
it's UFC when and the short UFC, notice.
Yeah, when the UFC says, "Hey, will you fight?"
Hey, would you like to? Right. Absolutely.
And he went the distance.
Yeah, didn't win. You know, obviously was outclassed by a bigger, skilled fighter.
It was big. Yeah.
Right.
Different weight class.
He's going to go down to 155, but he said that's a for sure thing. He says he won't go up to 170 ever again, at least in the UFC. Now, he might do that, you know, way down the line.
On the regional circuit, after a, you know,
a long stint in a retirement, and coming back home, one fight kind of thing.
On the retirement tour.
Dober's made a living in Victory and a lot of local Midwest shows. People see him a lot. I've seen him fight several times. He fought Bellator years back.
Yeah.
Same year, most can't say he has him there at the Power and Light.
Yeah.
He fought Nick Nolte on that card. Mm-hmm. He's been around a long
tough
time.
Tough customer. He's a young man, but he looks really young, too, like an eighth grader.
Yeah. Kicks hard.
But tougher than hell.
Yeah.
What
did you just say?
I did say this is being recorded.
Now, Dober's going
to
come
back.
Then we can
face.
Get our next guest out of that.
I told him he
did
looked too
young to be in the
bar.
Did you hear what Ozone said to you? He wants to square up with you on the radio.
No, I said, it was after he fought Aaron Darrow. And I said, damn, man, you look like an eighth grader.
Oh, man.
He knows he looks young.
Hey, that eighth grader can fight.
That's for
Darrow
sure.
Darrow, too, boy. Man.
That's for sure.
They had a great matchup.
Like to see it again.
A slugfest, for sure.
Well, we're going to have to wrap it up and into a nice, neat, short, and sweet balloon knot. A lot of things happening this year in the fight game. We got a lot of mo. A lot of mo is coming your way. It's coming at you. And thank you for listening. Happy New Year once again. We will see you next week on Fight Show Live. And thank you to Dr. Rance McClain, of course, for joining us.
Thank you, Doc.
The good doctor, generous with his time and the most knowledgeable source, medically speaking, in the mixed martial arts world. But again, everybody, thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next week on Fight Show Live on Sports Radio 102.5 The Fan.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Is that it?
Yes, it's over. How'd you like it?
I don't know. I slept through the whole thing.
Well, you didn't miss much.